This week, we are going to focus on stress. Now,
appropriately enough.
Stress is a topic that we have covered many times on the podcast. However,
we've never covered it.
We've mentioned it in different capacities, right. But we've never really focused on it like we have some other, like depression and bipolar disorder and things like that.
Yeah, we did some week-long focus podcasts where we talked about a specific disorder, a specific issue. And in those, we talk about stress. We've talked about stress many times.
Right.
We've never focused on it. And the reason we are now is because there was a recent study, which sort of, it was like a call, you know, to us. There was a study done by the American Psychological Association. In fact, there were two studies reported, one by the American Psychological Association, which reports the results of a survey done in 2017 that was reported. It takes a while to analyze the data and everything. It was reported in 2018, but the survey was conducted in 2017 about the uptick, the increase in stress levels. The APA study was in America, but there was a second study that was reported that was international.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the these studies found that there have been significant increases in stress over the past year, 2 years.
Right, and they said they compared it to data that was collected in 2005, and that's when they've noticed this gradual increase, and 2017 was the highest yet. Now, we haven't analyzed the data from 2018, but presumably it's similar.
Right, and according to some of the survey, it suggests that it will be.
Right, that's right.
So so there's a couple of articles linked in the show notes. One is to one from Time.com, right. TimeMagazine.com, and that is the one that's focusing on the United States and 2018 and stress. And the other is from the New York Times, and it's focusing, and it talks about the 2017 study.
The international study
from 2017. Yeah. So which would you like to start with?
Let's do the APA one. Let's do the APA one first.
Okay.
Right. It's the one from the United States.
Okay. So this was from Time Magazine or Time.com. And what the results of this study suggest is that not only do we have a significant increase in stress among Americans in general, but there's one particular stressor that seems to be of primary concern. And it, interestingly, and we didn't know this going into it, interestingly though, it is somewhat related to what we talked about last week.
Exactly. That was the first connection I made. I said, this is the kind of stuff we were discussing last week.
Yeah.
Right.
Last week we were talking about the us versus them and some of the divisiveness that we're seeing here and some of the psychological consequences of that. Right. Well, one of those psychological consequences is stress. And sure enough, this APA study found that over 50% of Americans report that their primary stressor is in fact the state of the United States.
Right. It used to be things like money.
Right.
In fact, money and work are close second and third. Mm-hmm. But 63% of the respondents, and the respondents, they had almost 3,500 people complete complete the survey. I think 3,450 or something like that, which is a pretty large number. It's a fraction of the whole country, of course, about 1%. I think we have 300 million people in the country. But it's still a large data set that takes a while to analyze, and I don't know exactly how many questions they had to analyze. But anyway, the result was that 63% of those who completed the survey said that their number one stressor was the future of the nation. There's something going on, and we talked about it last week when we talked about tribalism and divisiveness, and of course there are things going on internationally as well, you know, that create stress. But 63% are concerned about the future of the nation.
Right.
I know I am. I don't know whether, I guess I'm part of that 63%.
Sure.
That makes sense that we would be.
Right. So the way that they conducted the study seems to be, and in the Time Magazine article, they didn't really go into the methodology of the study, but what they seem to have done is they've listed multiple sources of stress.
Right.
One is the state of the United States. One is, money and job and so on. And people were to rate it basically on a Likert scale, right, of presumably not at all stressed to very stressed or extremely stressed.
Right.
And everyone was to rate each of these items on that Likert scale. And right, 63% rated the future of the United States as either very concerning, mm-hmm, or somewhat concerning.
Right.
And then second and third, as you said, was finance, money
was second,
and work.
And work was third.
And they were right, close second and third. 63% for right, the United States, 62% for money, and 61% for work. So very, very close.
Right, right. But still,
and somewhat related to each other.
Right, but to put that first.
Right.
Then the other thing they did in this survey is they talked, well, what specifically are you concerned about?
Right.
Okay. And again, we talked about this last week, 43% said healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is not surprising at all.
Right.
Healthcare, I don't know whether it's we're more aware of it because we are healthcare providers,
mm-hmm,
and you know, we're insurance,
right,
we're involved with the insurance companies. Right. I don't know whether it's because I've become more aware of it because of being in a practice, but people are talking about healthcare and insurance costs and what's covered and what's right, not covered. And so 43% said that they're concerned about healthcare in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable because as a you know, you and I both have families and,
mm-hmm,
you know, they have right, health concerns. You know, there's dentists and doctors and right, psychologists that you want to engage. But healthcare is a big issue for 43% of Americans. That's
right,
specifically one of the things they're worried about, the future of healthcare in our country.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and other things include like the economy.
Right.
And mm-hmm, and again, other things that relate to money and work and some of those kinds of
right,
issues that of course make up second and third place,
mm-hmm,
in this list. So
right. You know what was interesting is that we worry about how much do people worry about terrorism?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're still all very concerned about that because
right,
it's in the news. There's terrorism, there's crime, there are hate crimes, there's anger. You know, the people seem to be antagonistic toward each other. So the whole issue of crimes and hate crimes and all that, but that was only 30%.
Mm-hmm.
I say only. It's small in comparison to an issue like healthcare.
Right.
So the larger issues are public policy issues.
Right.
You know, it's not crime and all that. And that makes sense because when we talk about problems in schools, the problems are not violence and aggression. The problems are cell phone use right, and bullying and that sort of public displays of affection and out of uniform and haircuts
right,
and all that. It's these minor problems that are creating about 95% of the discipline problems in schools.
Right.
So here again, we see the same thing, that what you might think are the real concerns like crime and terrorism, they're not. What's a real concern to Americans and a source of their stress are things like healthcare.
And what's of particular concern to us, because of being in healthcare providers, but also you know working with people to help them manage stress, is the fact that in this survey, 45% of people reported that they lie awake at night,
yeah,
concerned and stressed over, or distressed over these concerns and issues.
Yeah, it's not insignificant,
right?
I mean, this is keeping people awake,
right?
So
yeah, and you know the other interesting thing, and this would be perhaps fuel for another podcast in the future at some point, is the fact that while the majority of people want to be informed,
mm-hmm,
I said about 56% of people want to stay informed and want to know what's going on,
right,
over 70% are concerned that the media that from which they get the information
right,
blows things out of proportion.
I worry about that, and I don't know what. You're right. It may be something we want to talk about, is
yeah,
what is the effect of media? Because now that you have these 24-hour news channels, they have to do something, and
right,
they have to keep people engaged. I mean, there was a time not long ago when you had maybe a half hour or an hour,
mm-hmm,
out of 24 hours where you would get this news.
Right.
They had 23 hours to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is literally around-the-clock coverage.
Exactly.
And in order to keep you engaged, they have to sensationalize things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always being aroused and engaged
right,
by the news. It doesn't right, matter what program you watch. It's not a it's not a liberal versus a conservative, or that doesn't matter. It's just that everybody has to sensationalize because that's what keeps you engaged.
Exactly, exactly. So now in the 2017, in the article about the 2017 survey, that too was interesting because but it was an international study.
Yeah, in this one, there were almost 154,000 respondents to the international questionnaire, and there were from 145 countries. So
which is
a massive undertaking. Yeah. And I'm thinking, how did these researchers put this together? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a I mean, you think, well, that's not that many. Yeah, it is. I mean, if you're a researcher, 145 countries is a lot of work for somebody.
Well, and you're talking, I mean, even from just the basic interpreting, translating the questions in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. You have over 100 different languages.
Right.
Okay? And then the questions have to be understood the same way, regardless of how they're translated,
you know,
which is not an easy problem
to
solve.
It's not just a word-for-word translation. It's contextual and meaningful.
That's right.
Semantic
and cultural and all these differences. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, how do you select the 150,000?
Right.
Well, I'm going to assume, because it was done by a reputable organization, that it was a random sample,
right.
You know, which is another issue. But that they were carefully selected. They didn't just go to one place and pick one. You know, they did an array of respondents so that you get a more accurate picture.
Right.
But 154,000 is a lot of interviewing.
That's a lot of interviewing. Right. That's a lot of information.
Right.
And they found that 2017, for the year of 2017, it was a year of distress. Around the world.
Around the world.
Because of humanitarian concerns, because of war, because of all kinds of particular factors.
Right.
But it was a year that really was really marked in the increase in stress and, and humanitarian-based issues.
Right. And again, if we think about the news for a moment, you think about things like, you hear stories, you see stories on TV about genocide, about famine, about drought, about family separations, about people drowning as they try to escape countries, war-torn countries. And we hear about wars and cities being bombed. But when you think, when you put it all together, which is what this survey did, you get this very clear impression that 2017 was a rough year for humanity. That's the title of the second article.
Yeah.
2017 was tough for humanity. There are huge problems in our world that, that need to be solved. And it feels like countries aren't solving the problems. You know, and I think Syria is a good example where they've been fighting each other now for how many years?
Right.
4 or 5 years. And all it is, nobody seems to have a solution.
Right.
You know, the United States is involved, Russia is involved. The leader of Syria keeps bombing cities and killing people, and there doesn't seem to be a solution. The Israeli-Palestinian problem, there doesn't seem to be a solution. You know,
right.
So that create when you feel impotent, when you feel that you don't have any control or that nobody has any control, it creates stress.
Right. Okay?
The other half of this survey, did you see the other? I mean, there's a whole article about it, a whole separate article. What nation is the happiest?
Yeah.
Happiness, of course, in quotes.
Right. Loosely speaking.
Right. We don't know what happiness means.
Right.
You know. But if you want to be happy, there's an article that says, if you want to be happy, try Finland. You know.
Right. You could try Finland for happiness. You could try Finland for a good education system.
Good health care.
Finland just seems to be the place to be.
Right. But the happiest, the number one, we like to rank things in this country, the number one nation in the world for happiness is Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Which is right next to Finland. So there's something, you know, you think about
Scandinavian countries.
You know, it makes me think about light therapy, you know, where the Scandinavian countries have those months of darkness and they're serious and sad and, you know, seasonal affective disorder and all that stuff. But as it turns out, those Scandinavian countries are the happiest. Why? I have no idea.
Right.
It might be that they're homogeneous.
Right.
It might be that I don't know. We don't know why. We have to find out. Number 14 on the list is the United States.
Number 14.
So we're number 14. So again, I don't know how they're measuring happiness in these surveys.
Right.
But it doesn't make me. Some people go, well, you know, some of my patriotic friends would say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. This is that, you know. That's
well, presumably, there was a question on the survey that said, are you happy?
Right.
And more people said yes in some of these other
Norway,
countries than said yes.
So they ranked the countries according to how people responded. And
yeah.
And the United we rated ourselves in a way.
Right.
You know, at least the people who were surveyed rated themselves. And so we came out number 14. Norway is first. We're number 14. I don't know what is between those two. But
right.
It gives you pause. What these did for us is it gave us pause to say, wow, these are fairly important numbers.
Right.
And they make you pause and say, what is going on?
Right.
But we know that there's been a significant, statistically significant increase in stress worldwide and in the United States.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So
we'll talk about that more as we go through the week, right?
That's right.
You promise?
I promise.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, before we let you go today, we do want to make an announcement, and we'll have some more information over the next couple of days. But we encourage you to check out the first Mental Health Bloggers Conference that will be held actually in London. So those of you in the United States.
But we can't go to that, can we?
Well, we could.
No, but I mean, we can't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
No.
So what are we going to do instead?
So instead, we're going to host a live podcast.
I'm so excited.
That's going to be broadcast live at the conference, but also live for everyone else on through YouTube.
So they're going to have this conference in London, and we're going to be beamed in.
That's right.
We will be virtually
that's present.
Right. No, that's really cool because it's like we're at the Academy Awards and we can't be there, but we're going to be on screen.
That's right. We'll have that whole little speech in that. We can't be there today.
I'm excited about it, but to the conference organizers, I am very pleased, very proud that we're going to be there and be able to participate in the conference, and we really appreciate your confidence and your invitation.
Yeah. So, it's co-sponsored by PsychReg.
Our friends at PsychReg.
And we do our podcast with. But also with Get Psyched, which is our friend, our good friend, Fraser Smith. Who we've interviewed and had on the podcast a number of times, and who we're very eager to have on the podcast again to talk about a variety of topics. But he's his Get Psyched podcast and YouTube channel is co-sponsoring this event. Right.
Yeah, if you've never looked up Fraser Smith, do yourself a favor, look it up. He's really a first-rate psychologist, and he's very thoughtful, very smart, very thoughtful, and very, very active. He has a wonderful website. That take a look at that. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So, as a footnote.
Yeah.
As a footnote to this conference, I'm keeping abreast of everything through Twitter. And WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And I actually sent a message to Fraser the other day on WhatsApp, and I'm sending one to our friends in London. And I'm doing it with Twitter, and stop laughing. He can't contain himself. No, the learning curve is a little, not flat, but it's going in the right direction.
It's not negative.
Well, it's not zero.
That's true.
You know, for a long time, I wasn't allowed to have either one of those things. Now I'm allowed to have them, and I'm about halfway there with Twitter. I know my mastery is about 50% right now, and I know that's an F, but I'm getting there. So I'm doing this now through Twitter.
Fantastic.
You didn't know that because I didn't have to go to you and say, "Hey, Bernie, what button do I push?"
It does make me want to know who you asked.
I don't know. I'm assuming it went to Fraser Smith.
He hasn't responded.
It may have gone to someplace in Alaska or something. I don't know. But I am becoming Twitter and WhatsApp savvy. So that's a footnote to the conference because I can keep up with this now.
See?
I'm hearing about this stuff.
See? It's good stuff.
Well, it's not good stuff because it takes too... That's another topic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Though I will say that Dr. Marshall has been in a group chat for the past couple of days on WhatsApp that he has not yet read any of the messages.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I said I'm about halfway there. Okay.
You check it once a week or so.
Okay, you brought it up. The problem is it takes so much time to keep up with this stuff. And mm-hmm. I said that at the beginning, that mm-hmm. when I started to get all these Twitter, I thought, I don't have time to be doing all this stuff with technology. Then I realized that's what my children are doing. Mm-hmm. They are responding, including this child. It takes a lot of time to keep up with this stuff.
It does.
And that's what I resent. Because I don't want to spend that much time on these devices. I don't want to go home in the afternoon and have to stay on there and answer. I don't mean to be rude to my friends, but I don't like to spend time on these devices.
I know. I forgive you for that. I think that's all for today. What do you think?
I'm going to talk about this in detail someday, about how much time it takes to do Twitter and WhatsApp and email and texting and all the other things that we have to do. Instagram, Snapchat. I checked my Snapchat a couple months ago.
Yeah. Well, we'll just say that the first Mental Health Bloggers Conference will take place on December 17th of this year.
This year?
And just so keep an eye out. We'll put a link in the show notes to the website announcing it, and you can read about the different presenters and what all will be happening at the conference in the event that you're interested in and have the availability to get there. We would encourage you to do that.
Right. Miss Cassie would know how many days there are between now and the conference.
She probably would.
She keeps track of that stuff in December.
That's true.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.